Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Laurie Daniel Falk, who describes herself as a spiritual life coach, a celestial networker, and a mystical artist. As a celestial networker, Laurie channels a divine team of angels and guides. As a mystical artist, she creates angelic drawings that she finds brings a feeling of wonderment and profound healing to all who view them. As a spiritual life coach, she helps individuals find their life purpose by exploring the world of endless possibilities. She also has a book about to be released, which we're going to discuss. So I will ask Laurie, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you so much for having me on your show today, Mike.
Can you hear me, Laurie?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Gosh, you're very faint at the moment. I can hardly hear you at all. Is the reception okay at my end?
I can hear you great. Let me try to take the headset off and see if that helps, okay?
Yes, because I can only faintly hear
you. Is this any better?
And it will be difficult to conduct the interview unless I can hear you a little bit better.
Right. Can you hear me now?
Oh, that's wonderful now, yes.
Okay, great. Well, we won't...
That was worrying there for me. Anyway, I'm very pleased to have you on the program. I'm intrigued, as I'm sure anyone else is, to know where all this started for you, because obviously having read a little bit about you, I know that your life started out somewhat different, and what you're doing now is, in real terms, a relatively new experience. So tell us a little bit about what you did before and how the change in your life came about.
I'd be happy to, Mike. Let's see. Well, I like to call it my past life because it seems like my past life. It was so different and so long ago. But I actually had about a 20-year career in the fashion industry. I started out as a buyer for Gimbel's in the Milwaukee area and a chain of specialty stores called Winkelmann's in the Detroit, Michigan area.
Yeah.
And during the mergers and acquisitions and all, I decided to make a shift in my life, and I created a trade publication for executives in the retail fashion industry. So for 15 years, I wrote about the fashion business news.
Yeah.
And that was fascinating, and it was fun, and it was exciting. And then I turned 40, and I woke up one day, and I said, you know what? Hemlines go up, and hemlines go down, and nobody dies from it. And it really doesn't matter. And if I have to write another story about fashion, I might die. And that was the truest statement I could have possibly made at that time. And the irony is that I'd always, always wanted to go into psychology, but I was raised in a very traditional family, and my parents were like, oh, you know, you're going to get married and have children and do the whole traditional thing. And
yeah,
that all didn't happen exactly the way they planned, but that's okay. And so when I had this epiphany about hemlines and about the fact that I just wasn't living my life on purpose, I also didn't know what else to do, though, because here I had spent 20 years in an industry creating a name for myself and building a reputation, and, you know, I was on the board of directors of the Fashion Group International, and so I kept praying, show me what I'm here for, show me what I'm here to do. And the long and the short of that is, when you don't know what to do, God will help you. And what happened to me was pretty much a dark night of the soul. I developed severe clinical depression and extreme burnout. I spent about a year on the couch and watched everything that I had built in my entire life kind of crumble around me, and had no way of stopping it because I didn't have the emotional capacity to do it at that time, nor did I have the energy to. And as it was all crumbling, and as it was all falling, and as it was having, you know, some pretty dismal days, somehow in the midst of it all, I just knew that I was going to come out on the other end of this, and I was going to be able to help people. And I didn't know what that looked like. I had absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
Until one day I heard the words spiritual and psychology in the same sentence. And I had no idea what that was all about, but I knew I needed to be part of it. And 5 days later, I was enrolled in a 3-year program. So that was a pretty magical experience in and of itself, because I had just come off of bankruptcy and foreclosure, and I had lost my car. I mean, literally everything. The slate had just been wiped clean. But, you know, Spirit wanted some magic to occur, and they needed me to be unattached from the material world. So they wiped us clean.
Yeah. So what was the time span when all this happened? I mean, where did it take you up to, the 1980s?
Well, in 89, right after the harmonic convergence, I had had probably my first mystical experience that I actually consciously remember. And I was still in the fashion industry at that time, and it was probably the mid-90s, right around 9/11, that I came. Mid-90s was probably when I started to crash, and it was towards 9/11 that I came out of it, because I entered the School of Spiritual Psychology right after that. And shortly after that, the harmonic concordance occurred, and that's when it was like, forget it. Everything just blew wide open. It was like all of a sudden I was in an entirely different world, and I was channeling messages like crazy.
Yeah.
It was just fascinating.
How did that actually start? I mean, when did you become aware that you could channel messages?
Well, the occurrence that happened in 89 was very profound. I mean, if you can imagine, this is type A Capricorn, very serious-minded, entrepreneurial woman, and I woke up one day, and I wear the same diamond earrings every day since I received them years and years ago, and so I don't even put them away. I set them on top of my jewelry box, and I set them down with one hand, and when I went to put them on that day, one was in one far corner of the jewelry box, and the other was in the other far corner, and I thought, how odd. You know, I didn't have a cat, so I knew the cat, and I didn't have kids, and my ex-husband didn't have a pierced ear at that time. So,
right.
I mean, all logic was out the window. So I turned around, and I looked at this empty room, and I said, Mom, if you're here, you're going to need to let me know. And I should preface that by saying my mom had passed away in 1980.
Yes.
So this is 9 years later. I hadn't really had any encounters with her, and I really hadn't been, you know, studying metaphysical things. So I have no idea why I said that, but I did. And so then I proceeded to go to my home office, and I was looking through the Help Wanted ads, because I had had my business for a number of years, and I decided that it wasn't doing what I wanted it to do, and so I was going to go back to corporate America. And all of a sudden, I smelt my mother's body aroma. And I was like, this is crazy. But I thought, well, I'll just go in the other room. It'll go away. And I walked in the kitchen, and it followed me. And I walked back in the office, and it followed me. And then I did something crazy, and, like, smelt my own armpits, because I thought maybe I was starting to smell like my mom. I mean, I was so naive to all of this.
Right, yes.
And then I finally got that something major was happening, and I flipped over a legal pad and actually wrote on the back, on the cardboard, this message that started just coming clairaudiently to me, and it was simply, you're here to help the many, not just the few. This path you're on will take you there, and you will feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
Well, needless to say, I didn't go back to corporate America. I stayed on the path, and you know, we hope when we get messages like that that magic is going to occur the next day. But years went by, and I think, Mike, a lot of that was because I was developing skills that I would ultimately be using as a light worker. But I wasn't done developing the skills yet.
Mm.
So then, you know, after years and years of doing that, then I went to the dark night of the soul. And then when I came out on the other end, the first message that came through right around the concordance was again from my mother. And I could just tell, because I just had this overwhelming sense of warmth and feeling nurtured and loved like you would from your mom, you know, that mother love feeling.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a friend who was a Native American shaman, and I showed her this message I had channeled, and I said, can you tell me what this is, if, you know, if this is real? And she, of course, chuckled and said, well, I'll read it if you think I need to, but of course it's from your mother. Who else?
Hmm.
You know, she knew, and when I read it to my boyfriend, at the time, he started crying. And so I was just very, very obvious that it was real. And then the messages started coming every day. And so I channeled them and spent time with it. And, you know, it's just like learning a foreign language. It's really all it is. It's just learning how they communicate with you and how to interpret their messages.
Yeah.
And it gets easier and clearer, just like it would if you were learning a language.
Yeah.
And then they ultimately told me to become a spiritual life coach.
Yes. I believe you said it was actually your mother's messages that guide you to become a spiritual life coach. Is that correct?
It is. It is. And, Mike, the crazy part is, I knew for sure that was guidance because I didn't know what that was.
Hmm.
I mean, here in the States, life coaching wasn't all that big a deal quite yet. And I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea until I heard that from my mother and the guides. And then I did some research on it and found out, oh my goodness, not only did it exist, but you could actually get certified in it. And 6 weeks later, I had my first client.
Yes.
So it was that in and of itself was amazing. So, and you know you're living on purpose when things just fall in place.
Right. Now, when your mother first came to you, it would seem to me that you weren't unduly perhaps surprised and certainly not frightened by that experience. Were you already prepared in your mind spiritually for what you later learned? I mean, were you sort of open to the idea of angels and guides and things like that?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this actually earlier today, and I think it really has to go back to before we actually incarnate, that we sign contracts of what we're going to do when we get here. And
yeah.
I think it was the fact that I must have signed a contract saying that at some point in my life I would be open to this type of work. Because
yes.
I do recall that the very first time I heard the word light worker, it was like a light bulb went on.
Mm.
And literally, I was like, what did you say? What is that? I have to know everything there is to know about that.
Yes.
So it was like a key word that at some point someone was going to say, and that was going to start to open me up.
Yes.
And that actually happened at some point during this dark night of the soul. I was talking to a massage therapist friend of mine, and she said that, and I was like, oh, my God. I mean, I had totally entrenched in the corporate world and then in, you know, the whole fashion industry, just the business. I was a consummate businesswoman. So
yes.
My spiritual life had kind of been in the closet. I really hadn't. It wasn't even in the closet. It was dormant for years.
Yes, yes.
But once it opened up, Mike, it was like the floodgates just opened, and
yeah.
And everything. I ate, I breathed, I spoke spirituality, and every author I could get my hands on. I mean, from Carolyn Mace to Wayne Dyer to, I mean, you name it, Doreen Virtue. I was just like, I was inhaling these books.
Yes, yes.
And then,
yes, carry on, yes.
All the people in my life, all the people that started showing up in my life were like spiritual mentors.
Mm.
So it was literally 24/7. I just threw myself into it. So I guess they made up for lost time.
Yes, yes. Well, I can equate with much of what you're saying there because I also had an experience of searching for the meaning of life, and I found a certain source of information, which happened to be Edgar Cayce's, and that eventually led me to his readings about Atlantis, and that absolutely thrilled me, and I couldn't get my hands on enough information about Atlantis, But where it did lead me to was to a society that existed in England about 50 years ago called the Atlantean Society. And it was through the channeled teachings of that society that I felt very much like you described. It seemed that I already knew what was coming to me, but I couldn't get my hands on enough information at the time. I mean, I was like you, racing around, looking at reading different books and so on. So yes, I think I agree with you. There's something of an awakening process there, and I think it's very wonderful. Now, your mother also told you to do drawings, didn't she? Did she not?
Yes. Well, it was several years after I had already been coaching, and then I started teaching angel communication classes, which, frankly, that came out of a class project at the School of Spiritual Psychology. And, you know, we had to do a one-hour presentation on something we were interested in, and I thought, well, I'm reading every book I can get my hand on celestial communication and communicating with angels and spiritual guides, so I decided to start teaching that. And so, but through the whole process, as I was teaching other people how to do it, I was certainly making sure that I was practicing and walking my talk. And so I was connecting with my mom and my guides every day, and all of a sudden the messages started to be to draw. And, you know, again, Mike, I'm just such a logical, pragmatic person that at first I ignored it. Even though I can tell you everything they've told me to do has been nothing short of magical when I follow through with it, but I couldn't wrap my brain around this whole drawing thing because I hadn't picked up a paintbrush since I was 18 and in high school and had to.
Yeah.
So, and then one day, in I think it was January, let me tell you, January in Wisconsin, which is where I'm currently living, is pretty dismal. And I was just having one of those very bleak Monday afternoons in January, and I thought, I'm just going to look back at my journal and see what my guides are telling me to do because nothing else seems to be working. And I looked, and I started highlighting how many times they had told me to draw.
Yes.
And I thought, okay, fine. Fine. Okay. I give up. You always know best.
Yes, yes.
All right, let's go up to the sanctuary, and we'll set a table up in front of the altar, and we'll draw. And seriously, I mean, I just took out, like, pastel chalks and paper that I had that I played with my nieces with, because that's all I had, because I didn't, you know, I wasn't, quote-unquote, an artist at that time. So, and I just sat down, and I said, all right, we'll do this, but here's what. This is going to mean something. I mean, we're not just going to sit here and play for an hour. I mean, I'm very bossy with them. But you know what? They signed on for this, so I figured they knew what they were getting into.
Yes.
So I said, I'm going to ask you a question, and you can give me an answer, and then we'll draw. And, I don't even know why I said something as crazy as that, but I said, I'm going to ask you what the world needs to know right now. What's the most important thing the world needs to know? And I picked up a deck of angel cards and started shuffling it, and this one card, like, flew across the room, and it was simply, all is well. All is in divine order.
Mm.
And then I'm like, okay, and I've got my pen in hand because I'm thinking they're now going to channel a message to me. And they said, Lori, put your pen down and pick up the chalk. And I was terrified because I had no idea what I was going to do. And they knew that, so they told me what colors to use, what to put on the page, where to put it, how to build this whole thing. And I swear to God, Mike, 45 minutes later, they said, okay, we're done. And I stood back, and I looked at this, and I went, oh, my God. This is, like, so much bigger than me, because I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
And I liked it. And, you know, after 20 years in the fashion industry, I have a very critical eye for color and line and design, so the fact that I liked it was crazy.
Yeah. Having seen some of your artistic angels on the TV interview that you did, I can tell our listeners that rather than be, as one might say, an accurate portrait, as one might imagine, having seen drawings of being, say, like Jesus, or the general concepts, yours are dazzling colours of the, what I would call, auric colours. So such as the wings, etc., that are on or around the angels. And I notice there seems to be quite a lot of pink and blues. They're very colourful indeed.
They are very colourful, and I guess, I mean, they're telling me how they want to be portrayed, and those are the colors that they're picking. And you're right, there are a lot of pink and blues, and I guess one could also say that those are colors that I probably prefer as opposed to the earth tones. But when there's a need for earth tones, they use them. Like the World Peace Angel has beautiful shades of brown and taupe in it.
Yeah.
I guess the best I can explain is when I am out in nature and I actually see the angels, what I'm seeing are columns of light. And I virtually see, like, a virtual light show. And I will see columns of bright purple and pink and red and gold. And that's what angels are. They're beings of light.
Absolutely, yes, yes. I like the idea of lots of pinks and blues for the simple reason that when I learned to do healing, the colour interpretation for pink is love and blue is wisdom. And I would have thought they would be two aspects of angels that would be very much to the fore.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just my biggest challenge now is that as the planet is ascending, we're actually going to be able to see more colors. And I look at my palette of chalks that I use, and I'm like, the colors that I want aren't there. And it's like almost I have to create them. And I'm going to be moving into some new mediums so that I'm able to do that.
Yes.
So watch for the colors to become even more magical.
Yeah. Do you do only angel readings?
Well, I call them angelic message portrait sessions, and I call in my angels and guides, and if I'm doing it for a client, I'll call in their angels and guides, and often deceased loved ones will show up as well.
Yes.
So, you know, obviously my mom would fall into that category, and my father now has passed on, and he was the artist in the family, so he actually is having a lot of fun with us. But often, other people, you know, my clients, deceased loved ones, will show up. And so that's kind of fun and exciting. And I always, my main goal, Mike, is that it's beings of the light.
Yes.
And I get less caught up in, you know, is this a fairy? Is this an angel? Is this a spiritual guide? Is this a deceased loved one? And more about what's the message and is it coming from pure love.
Yes, yes. Are you given the names of the angel beings that come through?
That's happening more and more. More and more. And it's, especially if it's a deceased loved one, because they often really want the person to get it.
Yes.
And there would be no way for me to know, because these are people that I've never met before. So it's quite fascinating when that happens.
Oh, yes, yes.
And when I'm doing them for individuals, it's very interesting because their portraits are often much different than the ones that I do, say, you know, just when I'm asking a universal question, what does the world need to know about something? It takes on the form and the shape and the color that they need.
Yes. Now, you've said that the colors and the symbols and the energy coming through your hands as you create your artistic pieces, becomes embedded into the page. So presumably the person you're doing that for can also benefit from linking in with the artistic creation that you've done.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, what I hear from my clients is that they will take them home and, you know, they'll hang them on the wall. And I've had people call weeks later and say, oh my God, as soon as I hung that portrait, the entire energy of my room shifted. Or I have other people call and say, you know, this is going to sound crazy, but that angel is changing. It doesn't look the same. And, you know, I don't disagree with them, but frankly, probably what's happening is that they're changing, so what they're seeing is changing.
Yes.
they're able to see different things. And you know, I have to tell you, because I am so pragmatic and so logical, I've self-tested these things, these portraits on me. And I picked, like, my deepest, darkest wound. I was actually sexually abused as a young girl, and that has, as it does, created a lot of trauma in my life. And I thought, okay, I really, really, really want to heal from this. And if this stuff really works, this was way in the beginning, then I'm going to do an angel to help me heal from this. And so I asked the guides and angels what I needed to know to heal from this abuse. And I drew this portrait of an angel that's kneeling. And again, now this one here, I did this for myself. And it's on the website. You can actually link on and see it. But it's green. I mean, it's Kelly green and blue and yellow are the primary colors in it. And this angel is kneeling, and she's crying. She literally has tears coming down, and these tears form this river, this infinity river of tears that she's actually kneeling upon. And then as it was being developed, as she started to speak through her heart and speak her truth, it came out in this like gold, light gold, yellow energy, and came up in this halo of energy or healing energy around her.
And beautiful colors.
Oh, it was very beautiful but powerful more than anything. And when it was done, Mike, I couldn't get near it. I honestly had to hang it in the foyer of my home. And that was as close as I could get to it, because it just... I can't even tell you. It was working with me in such a profound way that I could only take it in little bits, and like when I was walking in the front door or walking out the front door, I could only take it in little bits and pieces. And then what was really amazing to me is while it was hanging in the foyer, two clients on two separate days, both of whom had been abused as children, walked into my office and stood in front of that angel and started sobbing. And then they were apologizing. They're like, no, it's beautiful. I don't know why I'm crying. And I said, I do. And then I shared the story with them. And it was probably 2 weeks before I could actually move it into my living room. And then another 2 weeks before I could actually move it into my bedroom. And now it doesn't affect me at all. But what I've also noticed, and this is how we found out that the power of the original art carries over into the prints. When we started making prints of these and taking them to trade shows and different events, invariably, only people who were abused would pick up that angel.
Yes.
And they would look at me and they would ask me, what does this one mean? And I would tell them, and they would just start crying.
Yes.
And here's another crazy thing. It's the only one of all the originals that ever got rained on. And I used to travel with these all over the place, and none of them ever got damaged or ruined. And this particular one got rained on exactly where the tears are on the paper. It's crazy.
That's strange.
Yeah.
So, what I'd like to do, since you give the readings with these artistic paintings, in your opinion, what is the most important message that they're giving to people at this time?
Oh, what is the most important message they're giving to people at this time? Well, what comes to mind immediately is the light worker angel that I did when I was out in Las Vegas. And because I think it's just such an important time during this ascension process, it's such an important time for people to wake up, especially people who are light workers. In fact, 2 years before I did this light worker angel, I was sitting in my sanctuary, and Saint Germain came to me, and he said, Lori, I have a message for the world, and it's very important that you get this out there. And it was simply that anyone who ever thought they were a light worker is. And they're being called to active duty now. Anyone who's already a light worker is being asked to step it up a notch.
Yes.
Because the planet needs you.
And I agree with that, yes.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And so I've been, you know, part of my mission is obviously to get that out there. And when I did this Lightworker Angel out in Las Vegas, which is a very, crazy enough, I always thought of Las Vegas as this place that people just go to gamble, but it's sitting on this huge creation vortex, and it really, I really have a renewed respect for that place after having spent some time there. Not that I think I could ever spend much time there, because the energy is pretty chaotic, but what the angel said before I did this picture was, lightworkers are often referred to as spiritual warriors. We're here to lovingly do battle with wits instead of weapons. It's our responsibility to teach people to manage the energy of life instead of snuffing out life. We must teach them to think greater than the circumstances of their lives, to control their thoughts and emotions, and create the reality of their dreams. Saint Germain tells us, if you ever thought you might be a light worker, you are, and you're being called to active duty. If you're already a light worker, you're being asked to step it up a notch. You have the power to make not just a difference, but a huge difference. Let this light worker angel lovingly help you focus on love and gratitude as you work the magic you're here to perform.
Yes, I totally agree with you about this period of time leading to ascension. And I guess what we've been talking about so far is contained in your forthcoming book, the title of which is What the World Needs to Know Now, Wisdom of the Angels. But can you give us any other examples from the book that you would like to pass on?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Let's see. Well, I did one for the Indigo Crystal Angels, because, of course, that's a question I get asked all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how can we help them? And you should see the little kids when they come up to our booths at the shows we go to. They just go, Mommy, I want that one, and they'll point right to it. In fact,
yeah.
I had one little girl say, Mommy, that's the angel I see in my dreams.
Lovely, yeah.
Yeah, that was, you know, just, Mike, I'm so blessed, because it just, the magic that surrounds all of this is just, I'm in awe. I'm in awe every day. Well, here's the Indigo Crystal Angel, and this is her message. It has been said that the Indigo and Crystal children represent perhaps the most exciting, albeit odd, change in basic human nature that has ever been observed and documented. As you might imagine, these new children are highly sensitive to their environment. They are easily impacted both emotionally and physically to external stimuli, making it of paramount importance to create a home environment that allows them to feel relaxed, comfortable, and free of the stresses of the outside world. This Indigo Crystal Angel has been created to help these amazing children feel safe and at home in what often seems to them a rather unusual and sometimes frightening place to be.
Yes, that's lovely, and indeed I see on the internet from time to time quite a number of articles about the Indigo and Crystal children, and also read sometimes about their amazing abilities. They seem to have psychic powers or other skills that are largely beyond us, so it will be nice when they can actually reveal themselves, and presumably will help us through this coming period of growth.
Absolutely, and that's what they're here to do. And fortunately, many of them were born into families who have parents who are already awake. It's the ones who were born into families where they're the cycle breakers, and they have to wake up their parents, where it becomes challenging. Because those are the kids that are getting put on Ritalin and all the different medications for ADD and ADHD. And I've had the opportunity to speak to several of these types of kids, and they said it's just horrible. It's just horrifying how they feel when they're on these medications. They feel like they're dead. And yes, what I try to explain to parents is these children, it's like they're watching a multimedia presentation all the time because they're hearing and seeing different dimensions, and they don't know that you're not seeing that.
Mm.
It's all they know. That's how they were born. You know, because the typical parent will say, well, if they were seeing and hearing these things, they would tell me. Well, not necessarily. They think you're seeing them too.
Yes, yes.
So it is scary for them.
Yeah, I think people are very blessed if they have children of that type, and I think it's nice to know that perhaps the majority, if not virtually all of them, are with parents who at some stage can help them to sort of come out of themselves and express what it is they want to tell us. Now, I understand that you want to take your work to an even deeper level. You not only want to create the wonderful emotional healing tools that you have, but also contribute to charitable organizations that assist with their related causes. Have you any examples of where that's led you up to date?
Yes, I do, and I'm so glad that you asked about that, because that really is what's near and dear to my heart at this time, and we're kind of calling these angels with a cause. And it's interesting, as light workers, it's often our own experiences that lead us to causes that we lead up. And I remember I had a conversation one day with my therapist about the abuse that I had been through and how it had this rather negative impact on parts of my life. And she said, Lori, I need you to ask yourself this question. What do you want to carry forward from this experience in your life? And so, you know, in my tear-ridden state, I wrote that on a post-it note and kind of just stuck it on the counter next to the phone, and I said, well, sometime I'll get back to answering that question. I was too emotional at the moment. And so later that evening, actually in the wee hours of that morning, I woke up because I'd fallen asleep on the couch, and the TV was still on, and what I heard when I woke up was one out of every eight girls will be sexually abused.
Really?
By the time they are 18. And I was just shocked. And I just, the next thing I heard was darknesstolight.org. And I, in a half asleep state, wrote that on a piece of paper and stuck that on the counter. And the next morning when I woke up, both of those messages were sitting side by side. And I thought, okay, what do I want to carry forward from this? I don't want to carry forward being a victim, because that's not serving myself nor the planet.
Yeah.
So how can I heal this to such a level that it makes a difference in the world? And, of course, the answer was right there, darknesstolight.org. And I thought, oh, my God, I can not only create angels that will help resolve some of these issues, in particular this one being childhood sexual abuse, but I can then create products with those angels on it and donate a percentage of the proceeds to charitable organizations to further their work.
Mm.
So that's like, I get so excited when I think about that, and I also need to manifest a bigger staff to handle all that, because, you know, there's just a lot involved in managing that. That's a big wing of the business that I see emerging,
yeah,
if you will.
Well, you're certainly a very active person, and I suppose that might go back to the days when you were in your fashion industry. But tell us how you came to found the Crystalline Institute, and what is the purpose of it?
Well, the Crystalline Institute, when I first moved to this new location that I'm in, I was channeling a message out on the property out where we have this beautiful nature preserve. And the message I got was, the new name of your business is the Crystalline Institute, which really threw me for a loop, because I wasn't thinking I was going to change the name of my business. I had a name for my coaching practice, and I had a name for the teaching portion of the business. And I said, the Crystalline Institute, you've got to be kidding me. And I said, that sounds way too woo-woo. And, you know, because I still like it in my business mind, and I'm like, no, too crazy. And then they said, all right, if you think it's woo-woo, then go in your office and go on the Internet and do a Google search on Crystalline.
Yeah.
And I did. And everything that was coming up was, when they were talking about crystalline energy, it was all about the blending of science and spirituality. Mm. Well, now that I could wrap my brain around. So I said, okay, all right, I can do this. I can call the business Crystalline Institute. Now, I'm not going to question it because, again, you know, it's like they've got a 10,000-foot view, and we've only got like a 100-foot view, so who knows best, us or them? So even though it didn't make any sense to me, I went through all the hoops of changing the name of the business to the Crystalline Institute. And originally, at the time, I was hosting metaphysical speakers and then teaching classes myself. So, you know, it made sense to call it the Crystalline Institute, kind of like a school. And now it's just like the umbrella under which all the different, you know, elements of my work are being done, or the angels' work is being done. And, you know, there was some talk at one time that there would actually be a larger piece of property with a retreat center on it. And I don't know. I mean, they haven't kind of revealed that yet, if that's where we're going.
Yeah.
You know, right now the art has consumed me so much that it's just the umbrella under which I do my coaching, and I do the angelic message portraits, and I teach my classes. And
yeah,
stay tuned. I'm sure they've got plans for it.
Yes. So can we assume that your book actually contains a collection of the most important parts of the messages that you've given in your private readings?
Well, the book actually contains messages that I've done, of portraits that I've done specifically for the world. I don't including my clients' personal. There's one that I'm including, but that's only because it's a dear friend of mine and she said run with it.
Yes, yes, fine.
But I actually have, you know, taken the time to ask specific questions like, what does the world need to know now to stop the sexual abuse of children? You know, what do people of the world need to know now to attract abundance? Because that's always on everybody's mind.
Yeah.
You know, what do we need to know to have a healthier lifestyle? What do we need to know now about spiritual transformation or having a positive attitude?
Yeah. So when is your book actually coming out?
Oh, let's see. I'd like it to be out by holiday selling. But considering that we're still interviewing publishers, I'm not sure that we'll make it for this holiday season. If not, a thought came to me today that Mother's Day of next year would be lovely because, you know, seeing that my mom's so involved in all of this.
Yeah.
It would be a wonderful tribute to her. So it depends, you know, if the right publisher shows up with the right opportunities and wants to jump on it, I'm sure that the angels can help make that happen for this holiday selling.
And I take it will eventually be available from the sort of well-known sources such as Amazon Books.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yes, in fact, I have to say that I'm currently creating a prototype of the book, and it will have probably only half of what the completed project will have in it, but it'll have about 30 different works in it, and I'm hoping to have that at a show that I'm going to be doing in Chicago at the end of May, which is just a few weeks away. So, so we should have some prototypes there for people to look at, and then we'll be showing them to different publishers. And
I wish you every success on that. What do you actually do at your teaching classes and workshops that you hold?
Well, I teach a variety of classes, everything from a basic celestial communication class, which is, you know, how to open all of your four divine communication channels, how to become more clairaudient and more clairsentient, clairvoyant, and claircognizant, and, you know, how to develop that skill set, which is something that so many people really are fascinated with and really want to learn. And it's just, like I've said earlier, it's like learning a foreign language. So
yes.
I've led a number of those programs, and it's quite magical to watch people and as they develop these skills and the experiences and things that they encounter have just been nothing short of amazing. So that's one series of classes that I've done. And then I do another wonderful program called Consciously Create the Life of Your Dreams, which is pretty much a takeoff on the Law of Attraction and the teachings of the movie The Secret and, you know, all of that. And it's teaching people how that every moment of every day we're creating our own realities.
Yes,
so do you want to do it consciously or unconsciously? And, you know, of course they say consciously, and then it's a matter of, okay, well, then you got to learn a whole new skill set because what they've been doing isn't working. Or it's working, but it's not working in the way they want it to. And so
yeah,
if they want to steer it that in a better direction, then I teach them a number of skills to do that.
So I guess you probably teach your classes about the Law of Attraction.
Yes. Yes. And the Law of Attraction is, I mean, as I tell my students, the Law of Attraction is a law of nature. I mean, it's proven.
Yeah.
It's no longer a maybe some metaphysical woo-woo thing. It's a proven fact. So what I ask of my clients is that they start to respect it as much as they respect the Law of Gravity. And since they do respect the Law of Gravity, most of them wouldn't jump off of a 5-story building without a safety net or a parachute or something. So why would they then ever think that it doesn't matter that they control their emotions or their thoughts? So, you know, when they hear that, they kind of sit up and take notice and they go, oh my God, I better pay attention. How am I feeling? What am I thinking? What am I energetically putting out there?
Yes.
And it really, that has been a pivotal piece for many of my clients. That combined with the fact that they need to look at what's going on subconsciously, because as you know, Mike, we can think our way and say all the affirmations we want, but it's what's going on behind the scenes.
Yes.
Because that subconscious is going 24/7.
Yeah. I think people have a job understanding that what happens in their life is invariably what they have attracted to it.
And it is what they've attracted. You know, they have attracted it. But most of them, the misconception, and I find this in a lot of the metaphysical teaching, the misconception out there is that they can just change their thoughts and change their life. You've got to change the subconscious belief patterns behind those thoughts, because if every thought is a prayer, every emotion is an even stronger prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to go in and look at what's fueling those emotions and do some spring cleaning and change some belief systems to really start creating the life of your dreams.
Yes, indeed. Now, Laurie, we've been going on fine here, and you're terrifically interesting. I have about 5 minutes left in the program, and I want to give you a little space here to tell the listeners perhaps your website address, whether you invite people to write you and give out your email address. So is there any information you would like to pass on at this stage?
Oh, absolutely. I would highly encourage any of your listeners to contact me, and they can do that. Probably the easiest way is through the website, which is www.crystalline, and I'll spell that, it's CrystalineInstitute.com. And the email is real simple then, it's Laurie@crystallineinstitute.com, or they can click on the link on the website and get right to us as well. They can also watch the lightworker.com website has a wonderful news section. They're calling it their Spectrum section, and I'm a monthly columnist on there. So every month they can watch for a new article.
Yes.
And then, let's see, the Planet Lightworker is a wonderful internet magazine, and the Divine Union Angel will be on their June cover, so you can watch for that as well.
All right, yes.
Yes, and anybody who's in the States, we're going to be at the Celebrate Your Life conference in Chicago, May 30th through June 1st. And then we're going to be at the Hay House I Can Do It Expo, June 26th through 29th in Las Vegas.
Yes, yes.
So, and if you're not in the States, come on over. It's a great time of the year to come to the States. It's almost summer.
Indeed,
and the weather's beautiful.
Okay, so you evidently from that only have the one website.
Mm-hmm. Yes, our website is the Crystalline Institute.
Yeah, okay. Well, if there's anyone listening who hasn't completely got that address down, if they go to BBS Radio, I always do a write-up for the archives, so I will make sure that your website address and your email address is in there for people to follow up. And I also write to my subscribers with the same information. So I would hope that no one would actually miss the opportunity to contact you. We still have a few minutes left. Is there anything else, just thinking back to your book, in the way of a nice sort of closing message that you would like to pass on?
Yes, yes. I would encourage your listeners, if they have questions that they feel the world needs to know about. You know, I'm not necessarily interested in their personal, individual life questions unless they'd like to commission me to do a portrait for them, and then I'm happy to. But as far as the book, if there's things they'd like to see covered in that book, seeing we're only at the halfway mark, please let me know what your questions are, and I would be happy to ask them on your behalf.
Yes.
And then I highly encourage any publishers out there who are interested in teaming up with us to feel free to give us a call as well.
Yeah. Do you do any CDs or tapes or things like that?
Pardon me?
Do you do any CDs or DVDs about your work?
DVDs we will be doing. I know that's the next step. We just haven't gotten there yet. I do have some Celestial Communication CDs that I created out of our Celestial Communication classes that are available on the website.
Yes.
And the other thing that's available are we have a lot. We have coffee mugs now and throw pillows and divine guidance journals, all that have the angels on them. So you can enjoy this artwork without actually hanging it on your wall now, too.
And do you do postcards of your portraits?
We have a line of greeting cards.
You do, yes.
Yes, and those are very
nice.
Popular.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds wonderful. How many portraits have you done to date?
You know, hundreds that I've done for clients.
The
ones for the book, there's about 30, 32, something like that right now. But I've done hundreds for individuals.
And you do those when you're with your clients, sort of on the spot?
I do most of them long distance because my clients are really, from around the world. They're actually,
we have
art in 12 countries already, so it's very exciting. So we do them long distance over the phone, just like we're doing this interview. I just connect in with their angels and guides and then send the completed artwork along with the tape of the session.
That's nice. Well, Laurie, I'm going to have to thank you very much for coming onto the program. I've got a brief period left here to announce my next guest. So thank you dearly for coming on. You're a wonderful speaker and very interesting. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Mike, and I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Thank you. Okay. Fine. That was wonderful. I'll just tell you very briefly that next Friday I have Nugent Thomas, who have a book out called Take Me to the Truth. It's a follow-on to many articles that they have written. For example, they say ego reality is an illusion. They talk of six steps in a navigational guide to undoing the ego. They talk about the illusion of our identity and what we are really here for, the secret of real love and so forth. So, again, I think that will be yet another interesting interview. So, I hope you can be with me next week, and thank you for being with me this week. God bless you all.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.